Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Paribhati Kacharya Ashwatthata Tatasri Srimad Yastha Vaingdesa Skan Founder Acharya A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jayam Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Paribhati Kacharya Ashwatthata Tatasri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj Ki Jayam Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Paribhati Kacharya Ashwatthata Tatasri Srimad Gorkishore Das Babaji Ki Jayam Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Paribhati Kacharya Ashwatthata Tatasri Srimad Satchidananda Bhaktivinoda Thakur Ki Anant Kodi Vaishnava Rindaki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Premsakoho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivindaki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Kagopina Shamkun Radhakun Giri Govardhan Ki Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Shri Mathura Dham Ki Navadvip Mayapur Dham Ki Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Ganga Jamuna Maya Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Tulsi Maharani Ki Is the Vaingaya Siskan Founder Acharya Save the Whole World Srila Prabhupada Ki Srila Prabhupada Ki Is the Vaingaya Srila Prabhupada Ki Worldwide Iskan Ki Golok Premdan Harinam Sen Kirtan Yagya Ki Hare Krishna Mahamantra Ki Sri Yuga Dharam Harinam Mahamantra Ki Shri Shinitaini Mai Sundar Ki Shri Shri Lakshminar Singh Dev Ki Giriraj Maharaj Ki Go Premanandi All glory to the assembled devotees All glory to the assembled devotees All glory to the assembled devotees all glories to Guru and Gauranga Omagyantamanandasya Ginangina Shilakaya Chakshurimilitam Janatas Mai Sigurdave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Shwayam Rupa Kadamayam Dudanti Svapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare Hare So Srila Narottam Das Thakur has stated Golok Prem Dan Harinam Sankirtan is one of the lines to one of his songs, that this chanting of the holy names, and specifically the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This is not an ordinary sound vibration, but this is Shabda Brahma. It is a transcendental sound. And Golok Prem Dan Harinam Sankirtan, Golok. It comes from the spiritual realm, Goloka Vrindavan Dham. And as all the incarnations of Krishna, the purpose of the holy name is to deliver us from this conditioned state of existence, from material life back to the spiritual world. And actually by chanting these holy names purely and sincerely, we can get entrance into the spiritual world. By the mercy of these holy names, we can meet Krishna himself, because there's no difference between the name of Krishna and Krishna himself. Yama Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. So gradually, the sincere chanter, he receives the darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are actually pilgrims on the path back to Vrindavan Dham. Krishna is Vrindavan Nath, he is the master of Vrindavan. So the more we chant, the closer we come to Vrindavan Nath, Krishna. Srila Prabhupada describes in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and more specifically in his purports to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that as we chant, Krishna reveals himself to us. All of them, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So the first deity of Krishna that we meet when we come to Vrindavan is Madan Mohan. The deity of Madan Mohan was established by Sri Sanatana Goswami. And after serving Madan Mohan, then we are blessed to meet the deity of Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Govinda Dev. And then after serving nicely and purely lotus feet of Sri Govinda Dev, then we meet the most beloved deity of Madhu Pandit, which is Gopinathji. So Prabhupada elaborates on our service to each of these deities and the significance of our service to each of these principal deities of Vrindavan, Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan, Sri Sri Radha Govinda Dev, and Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. First of all, we establish our relationship of service with Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan. Madan Mohan is one name of Krishna, which means that he is the attractor of Cupid. At the present moment, we are all attracted by Cupid. Krishna says to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, it is lust only, Arjuna, which is the all-devouring sinful enemy in this world. So the perverted reflection of love, our original love for Krishna, the Adi Rasa, is our attraction to this material world. And the strongest attachment to this material world is sex desire. Pumshastriyamituni bhavan tayormito hridayagrante maho bahogi accepta sitapti vitaya janasya mahoya mahamameti. That the attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. Based on this misconception, which ties together the hearts of the male and the female, one becomes attracted to his body, to his wife or her husband, to the children, to the home, to the household paraphernalia. In this way, one increases life's illusions and thinks in terms of I and mine. So our original attraction is for Krishna, but when we fall into the material existence, into the material world, that original attraction becomes perverted. And the perverted reflection is our attachment to this mundane matter. This is a very embarrassing situation, actually, because originally all of us have a relationship with Krishna in one of five primary rasas, either one of neutrality, one of servitorship, one of friendship, one of parental love, or one of conjugal love. That seed is there in our heart. Bhakti Lata Beej. It's already there. It's in a seed-like form now. Just like a seed, generally we think of a seed as a tiny little particle, and then through the proper watering process it manifests and grows. So the reverse happens when we fall from the spiritual world. That original relationship with Krishna, which is blooming and flowering in so many wonderful ways, it becomes again reduced to a seed-like form, Bhakti Lata Beej, and it becomes covered by lust and material desire and ignorance, lust, anger, and greed. So that seed-like desire is there, but it becomes perverted. It takes the form of attraction for matter. This is very embarrassing. Originally we have a spiritual form full of Sat, Chit, and Ananda, eternity, knowledge, and bliss, with which we're serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, eternal form full of bliss and knowledge. But somehow we choose to identify with this body, which is just the opposite. It's not eternal, it's temporary, it's not full of knowledge, it's full of ignorance, it's not full of bliss, it's full of suffering. This is our foolish position. So that attraction is very, very strong. Goes with us birth after birth after birth, and it causes us to think that we are any one of the 8,400,000 forms in this material world. When I was flying on the plane from Delhi to London yesterday, the man sitting next to me, he was reading a National Geographic magazine. And this National Geographic magazine, it was showing for the first time, at least for the first time to man's eyes, modern man's eyes, the different forms of life that exist on the bottom of the ocean. And even the scientists have admitted that they've only found about 300,800,000 some odd species of life. And the Vedic literature has informed us that there's 8,400,000 species of life. So they've hardly found half. And recently, due to their scientific technology, they're able to go to the very depths of the ocean, miles and miles, kilometers and kilometers down. And there they filmed the living entities who live down there, and they were ghastly. Even the most, you know, mad science fiction writer could not, you know, conjure up in his mind such weird and strange forms, but they're existing there. And the living entities who have those forms are very attached. No living entity wants to leave his body. If you ask some living entity, would you like me to kill you? You know, if he could answer, the natural response would be he would say no. And even if you try to kill him and he can't speak, he still tries to run away. Even we know that Indradev, he, because of an offense to a great sage, he once had to take the body of a pig. And he was very attached. And when Brahma sent Naradadev to try to release him from that abominable position, he didn't want to go. He was very happy. He was attached to that. So this is the false ego. False ego is very, very strong. And the living entity becomes attached, not only attached, but the living entity falls in love with matter. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? Right? And that goes to the men also. So we become attached, but as they say, beauty is only, it's only skin deep. Nonetheless, this skin love, as one time they, one yogi said to Prabhupada, Swamiji, I love you. And Prabhupada looked at him and said, I love you too, but I don't skin love you. So this attraction, as gross as it is, and as ignorant as it is the reality. It is lust only, Arjuna, which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world. This attraction is very difficult to give up. Daivyesha gunamayi mama maya duratya. Attraction to pumsha stadyamituni bhavam. Shtri means lady, and technically it means that which expands everything. As soon as there's the sexual attraction, the meeting of man and woman, the enjoying principle is increased, and to enjoy so much paraphernalia is needed, one has to work very hard, it increases unlimitedly. Like a banyan tree. Krishna actually uses the example of the banyan tree in Bhagavad Gita as an analogy to show how entangled we can become in material existence. There's actually a banyan tree on the way from Calcutta to Mayapur, which is about a 4-hour drive. There's a banyan tree which is over 50 kilometers long. You've seen the banyan tree. The original trunk is there, and then come the branches, and then the branches, it's almost mystical. That's why no one cuts down a banyan tree in India. No one will cut a banyan tree in India because they're almost mystical how they grow. There's considered some mystic potency in the banyan tree, so no one will touch it. Even the Muslims will not cut a banyan tree. So the branches are growing down, and then they become the roots. And those roots again grow up into a trunk, which becomes a tree, and then the branches, and then those branches and twigs go down into the ground and become the roots. So it goes up and down like this, up and down. So the scientists have discovered one banyan tree, which is 50 miles long, one tree. It's inconceivable how one tree could be 50 miles. And the roots are, just imagine if you had to pull out that, what it really means to pull out that banyan tree. It's like you can cut a tree, but that's not it. If you really want to finish the tree off, you have to pull the roots out. And the roots, if you know anything about botany, the roots are as long as the branches of the tree are spread. If you look at the tree and you see the branches are spread like this very far, if you were to dig into the ground, you would see that the roots are also extending that long. These big, big trees with huge branches going at great distance. Then you dig, you'll find the roots are there also. It's not easy. To take out a banyan tree is quite a difficult thing. So our entanglement in material existence is like that. Our attachments to the material body. There's extended attachments as well, not just the attachment from the tip of our toe to the top of our head, but our attachments to our clothes, our attachments to our household paraphernalia, our attachments to our vehicles and cars. Due to that ahankara, we identify with these things as much as we identify with the body. Or what to speak of mundane family members, the mundane attachment to mundane family members. Sometimes that attachment is even more dear than our own life itself. Otherwise, how is it that sometimes a mother or father will sacrifice their own life for their child or another family member? So many times you hear about that. I even read a couple of years ago there was a fire in America, in California, in Los Angeles, in the hills there. And one man, when the fire started, a very, very wealthy man, extremely, like he's a millionaire. To save his life, he ran out of his house, and then he remembered that his cat, his pussy cat, was inside. So at great risk to his life, his own life, because he was so attached to that extension of his sense gratification, he ran back in the house, and with his last breath, he picked that cat up and threw the cat out the window, and the fireman caught it, and the pussycat lived. The man burned to death. So he sacrificed his own life for something that was more dear than his own life, his cat. So the roots go very deep. They're extended. Prabhupada said extended selfishness. Mundane society, friendship and love. Even one society that I am British. I am English, Englishman. God save the Queen. I'll sacrifice my life for the Queen. So many men, so many Englishmen have laid down their lives on foreign soil. Their blood has been spilled on foreign soil. Queen Victoria. Or I am American, I am Polish, or I am German. Actually, when there's a call to war, the young men go forward with great passion, and with great honor, they give up their life for the extended conception of I, me, and mine. There was one famous American patriot. He said he was about to be hanged. He was caught as a spy. American patriot. He said, I regret that I have but one life to give for my country. So this is all illusion, Prabhupada said. Because we are not this body, neither are we any of the identifications that we give the body. Just like if I am not this table, then neither am I wood or glass or this color or this configuration. So essentially, if I am not this body, then neither am I any of the designations that go along with the body. The body appeared in America, the body appeared in a white family, the body is this, the body is that, I'm none of these things. But the hankara is very, very strong, and therefore we identify with all these. So to detach ourselves is more difficult than cutting down a banyan tree. Sometimes a neophyte devotee, he may come and hear a little of philosophy and then consider himself to be very renounced. Given up a few possessions, moved into the temple, and now I am very, very renounced. I have no attachments. But that's like maybe cutting down, externally cutting down the tree, but the deep roots remain within the ground. So we may externally renounce, but the real renunciation comes when we can pull the roots out, the root cause of our attachment to this world, the lust, the resultant greed, and the resultant anger that come from those attachments. That's the real business. Those are the real anarthas that we have to work on. So, Maya has created this illusory world in such a way that it bewilders the minds even of great demigods like Brahma and Shiva and Indra, who are relatively infinitely more intelligent than we are. Bhagavatam describes it just as sometimes it appears that on the sand there is water, or on water there is land. If you've ever been in a desert, we just came from Rajasthan in India, near Jaipur, and there's a little south of Rajasthan, there's desert. So if you're on that desert and you look, you're walking, then sometimes you see puddles of water on the horizon, shimmering, bluish green. And you're naturally thirsty, and you think, oh, if I just run and dive into that oasis, I'll be soothed in this hot sun. And you run and you run and you run. But amazingly, as much as you run, the oasis is just still that far away. It never comes closer. The more effort you put, it remains at a great distance. Or if you've ever sailed on the sea, when you sail on the sea, then because of the reflection of the sun in the water, sometimes it appears as a landmass. And you sail and sail and sail and sail, because you can't drink the salt water. When you get to the land, there may be a well or a river you can drink the pure water. Water, water everywhere, but not a drop to drink. The sailor is saying. So he sees the landmass and he sails, but it still remains at a great distance. It's an illusion. It appears to be real, but it's an illusion. So the illusion of material existence is like that. Maya means that which is not. It appears that we can be happy here, but that happiness, the real taste of happiness, always remains at a great distance. No one ever satisfies that desire. And that illusion is even there on the heavenly planets. Even great demigods, they are sometimes illusioned by the false pleasures of this life. So if that illusion is bewildering, even great devas, and they remain bewildered and unable to perceive this magic kingdom of Maya. But what is our hope? Our only hope is Madan Mohan. Madan Mohan means the attractor of Cupid. Cupidon, we say in French. Cupidon. Cupidon is so attractive. But hundreds and millions and billions of Cupidons are coming out of the body of Lord Vishnu, Lord Narayan. He's the source of all that. Daivyesha gunamayi mama maya dharateya. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is very difficult to overcome. But one who surrenders unto me, he can easily overcome it. So that illusory energy is coming from Krishna, and the energy is never equal to the energetic. It's the energetic is the source. So whatever we see in existence, within and without our experience, it is all coming from Krishna. Om Purnam Adaha Purnam Idam Purnat Purnam Udachite. He is the complete whole. Whatever complete units we see emanate from the original whole. So whatever we see in this world is only a spark of the splendor of Krishna's beauty. And Krishna's beauty is of another nature, a superior nature. This is the inferior nature, material energy. And that is the superior energy. So if we are fortunate enough somehow or other to come in contact with Madan Mohan, the attractor of Cupid, then we can give up our false attraction to this material world and become attracted to Krishna, the infinite beauty of Krishna. And that is the first step in self-realization. No one can actually become a devotee if he maintains a false attraction to this world. You can't have one foot in this world and one foot in the spiritual world. It doesn't work like that. Either in or you're out. Like Jesus said, either you're for me or you're against me. So we have to draw the line. And we have to step on the other side. And the only way we can do that is when we, again, become attracted to the original beauty of Krishna. So he's very kind. He comes, Sri Sanatana Goswami has given us the deity of Madan Mohan. So our first step towards Vrindavan is to give up our false attraction to the material world. That's the very first step. Just like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's famous story of the wedding party. We all know that, but anyway, there was once a wedding party. And the party finished quite late at night, so the participants in the wedding, the bride and the groom and the relatives, they got in the boat and asked the boatman to take them to the other side of the river. So the boatman started rowing the boat, and immediately they fell asleep. Just like Sri Thakur Mahasaya, he told me. I was telling him how I haven't slept in 36 hours, because I can't sleep on the planes, because it's so crowded. And they put me near where all the babies are crying, and the movie is in front, and the man with a Sikh turban was leaning on my head all night with his turban, and it was horrible. he told me that he can sleep anywhere. As soon as there's some motion. Isn't it, Thakur? As soon as you get in a car, as soon as you get in a train, a plane, you immediately fall asleep. Right. So you, I think maybe you were part of this original story, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. As soon as the boat started to row to go across the river, Sri Thakur fell asleep. The boatman was rowing and rowing and rowing and putting so much effort in. You know, finally dawn came, the sun rose, and the people of the boat, Thakur, woke up and he said, "Hey, boatman, we haven't moved an inch." And the boatman said, "I can't understand how I've been rowing, putting so much effort, rowing and rowing and rowing all night. We haven't moved an inch." And then Thakur realized. He said, "Well, you haven't pulled the anchor up yet." The boat was still anchored in the mud on the side of the river. So he said, "First you pull the anchor up, put it in the boat, and then you row and you'll go some distance." So this was the analogy which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati used for the progressive transcendentalist, that if we actually want to go across the Vaitarini River, which separates the material world from the spiritual world, and to cross over that river on the boat of transcendental knowledge with the expert captain, the spiritual master, to pull up the anchor. Otherwise we won't go anywhere. We can practice Krishna consciousness for many, many lifetimes together, but unless we pull up the anchor of attachment, false attachment, then we'll make a little few inches, but there's never any loss or diminution on this path. But if we're really serious about going back to Godhead, then all those false attachments have to be given up. So that is only possible when we meet Madan Mohan, because he's so attractive. Rupa Goswami has actually warned the materialists. He said, if you all desire, if you've taken a vow, a grihamedi, not a grihastha, but grihamedi, means one who's taken a vow that I will enjoy material existence, just like a devotee takes a vow. Unless you take a vow, you'll never be determined. That's why at the moment of initiation, we vow to the spiritual master, we will follow these four legative principles, because unless you take a formal vow, then there'll be no determination. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was chanting a fixed number of rounds. Haridas Thakur was chanting a fixed number of rounds to show us. We must take a vow. So that's the devotee. He takes the vow. I will overcome the insurmountable ocean of material existence by following these regulative principles and engaging in the strict process of devotional service. So to achieve anything great in this world, one has to be very determined. One has to take a vow. So the materialists also have taken vows that they will enjoy. They will go to great lengths, to great austerities, to get a mundane education so they can succeed in life. They sometimes criticize all the austerities devotees perform. But they're also performing so many austerities. I once met a boy, he said, "I don't want to follow any rules and regulations like you guys, all these strict rules." So I say, "After summer's over, you're going to go back and follow some rules also." "No, man." "Yeah, you're going to get up every morning at 6 o'clock, brush your teeth, put your jeans on, get in the school bus, the yellow school bus, and go to school and sit there for 9 hours and study. When the bell rings, you stand up. When the bell rings, you sit down. Your teacher says this, you do that. If she says do that, you do that. You follow someone." "Oh yeah, that's right. I guess that just depends on which rules and regulations you want to follow." These are the regulative principles of freedom, Krishna says. Those are the principles of bondage. So when we come in contact with the beauty of Krishna, then Rupa Goswami says, if you've taken a vow to enjoy the material life, then don't make the mistake of going down to Vrindavan, to the river where the Jamuna River is, for Bhamsi Bhat. Bhamsi means Krishna's flute. So that Vat, that place where he's blowing his flute, don't go there, and the full moon night in the season of Sarat, a very pleasant season, Krishna there, he blows his flute and he calls all the gopis to come. So Krishna is so beautiful that they give up everything and come running to him. So he said, don't make the mistake. If you've taken that vow, then Krishna will break your vow. He'll break that vow that I will enjoy material life. He'll break that vow. Because once you see him, you'll become so captivated that you lose your determination for material life. And subsequently, your determination to achieve Krishna's lotus feet will arise within your heart. That's the natural consequence of devotional service. Even if one, agyata sukriti, unknowingly performs some devotional service, gradually he loses his false attraction to this world and awakens his real attraction to Krishna. This is Prabhupada's mercy, that he came in our midst, and we were grihamedis, we were determined. The hippies were known as, you know, they were renouncers, but they were actually the most attached. They were enjoying a lower level of existence, a mode of ignorance. Somebody may be enjoying goodness, somebody passion, somebody ignorance. It's all dry stool, wet stool. It's all material life. But Prabhupada came in, and when he chanted, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Then we were enchanted. It's like the hunter, he goes to the forest and he plays his flute. Da 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 da. Whatever he plays. Then the deer, they hear that and they become enchanted. They become stunned. They can't move. So he comes and he shoots his arrow. That's his trick. So Prabhupada actually tricked us. We never thought that we would be following such strict rules and regulations, dedicating our body, mind, and soul to the service of that blue cowherd boy in the spiritual world. These things were beyond even our wildest imagination. And we had become enchanted by the sweet sound vibration from Srila Prabhupada's lotus lips describing the transcendental form of the Lord. Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So Madan Mohan, the attractor of Cupid, he again attracts us by his transcendental form. Because the eyes, they hanker to see something beautiful. The nature of the ears to hear some sweet sound, some sweet music. The nature of the nose is to smell something wonderful. The tongue to taste something. The belly to enjoy something like that. The senses are, that is their natural propensity in devotional service. When it's perverted, still the tendency is there. And naturally, when you're presented something, you give up the inferior when you experience the superior. That's just the law of nature. One naturally gives that up that which is inferior when he gets something superior. That's the whole principle of business. I mean, everyone has a computer now, which is, you know, sufficient, really, if you think about it. But every 6 months they're coming out with, you know, this one and that one, and I can't even keep up with it all. The Pentium chips are increasing. And because it's a little bit better, one gives up the so-called inferior one. He spends $500-$600 more and he gets a superior one. So we're always looking for perfection. We're never satisfied until we get it. But when you get Krishna, then you have that taste that you're always hankering for. You don't have to look any further. But if you don't chant regularly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, then you'll forget that higher taste that we're always looking for, and you'll look for the lower taste, and you'll be unhappy, miserable. So you always have to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Madan Mohanji, the first deity in Vrindavan, our first step towards Vrindavan. And then the deity, the beloved deities of Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sri Radha Govindaji. Govindaji means, Govinda means, well, it means different things. Go can mean cows. So Govinda, he's always surrounded by many cows going to the forest every day with Balaram, the boys, to herd the cows. Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahman Hitaya Cha, Jagaditaya Krishnaya, Govindaya Namo Namaha. That the cows and the Brahmins are very dear to Lord Krishna. Which is more dear? Cows. Because Krishna and his sporting pastimes in the spiritual world, he's going every day with the cows to the forest. Those cows, of course, are very exalted devotees. They are in Shuddha Sattva. Brahmanas are in sattva. They're in goodness. But we want to become even more than Brahmanas. We want to be Brahmanas because Brahman is a stepping stone towards transcendence. But a Vaishnava is even higher than a Brahmana because a Vaishnava is even above the mode of mundane goodness, which can also be conditioning. One develops a sense of happiness. I'm so pure, I'm vegetarian, I'm clean, I'm regulated, I'm cool, man, I'm cool. Right? But a devotee goes beyond any mundane conception. Even the mode of goodness, he goes beyond to Shuddha Shapa, to pure goodness. A Vaishnava is situated in pure goodness. So go, the cows, they're in that Shuddha Sattva, that pure, they're devotees who desire that relationship with the Lord. That we should not think of it as something inferior. One time Prabhupada said, anyone who thinks the love of Mother Yasoda is inferior to the love of Radharani, or that Krishna appreciates more the service of Radharani than Mother Yasoda, that devotee is an aparadi, he's an offender. Although we may say the love of the gopis is the highest, Krishna loves each of his devotees unlimitedly. So the cows are very happy serving Krishna in the spiritual world. They wouldn't, if you ask them to be a gopi, they just moo. They wouldn't accept it for anything. They like being cows. The boys like being, you ask a boy to be a girl, right? You want to be a girl? No way. So you ask the cowherd boys if they want to be gopis, they'll just laugh. And you ask the gopis if they want to be cowherd boys, they'll giggle. Everyone's perfectly happy in his relationship. That's the perfect nature, the complete nature of the spiritual world. Even the trees who are giving their fruit, when Krishna and Balaram walk through the forest in Vrindavan, the tree's service is to bow down their branches and drop their fruit at Balaram's feet. Krishna noticed that. He said, you see, Balaram, how they're all accepting you as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They're bowing down and giving their fruits. Those trees wouldn't change that for anything. They're so happy. So the cows are very dear to Krishna. So, Momramanya Devaya, Gobramanya Hitayacha. Govinda. But Govinda also means he who gives pleasure to the senses. When we engage our senses in Krishna's service, then our senses become fixed. The difficulty for the aspiring transcendentalist, that is described even in the Christian tradition, the heart is willing, but the flesh is weak, something like that. Mm-hmm. Every devotee's heart, naturally he wants to serve Krishna. But due to our past conditioning, for many, many lifetimes together, there remains some attachment. Despite our desire to serve Krishna, but yet there still remains some attraction to this world. So Govinda is he who engages our senses in his service. Rishikesha, the master of the senses. We serve Radha Govindaji. Govindaji, naturally, he helps the aspiring devotee on the path of devotional service. One who tries to control his senses on his own strength, it's a very risky business. Because spiritual vajravegam, manashukodavegam, spiritual life means controlling the mind, strict control of the senses. So the yogi, by dint of his great austerity and penance, when there's some attraction, he pulls his senses in, just like the turtle. Pulls his legs and his head. You've seen the turtle? He's walking and you come and you tap him on, knock, knock, who's home? Right? Whoop, he goes in, his four legs and his head, and he just looks like a shell. So whenever the yogi just generally means one who on his own merit is advancing in spiritual life. Whenever there's some attraction, he pulls his senses in like that turtle in the little house like that. Just, no, 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 no. He doesn't. But it doesn't always work. Because our strength is limited. Maya Devi, her strength is not unlimited, but it's much more great than our strength, and she has her ways. So there's been so many yogis who have fallen from the path of transcendence because of attraction for money and women and so forth and so on. But one is much in a much more sure position when he takes shelter of the lotus feet of Govinda, he who controls our senses through the process of devotional service. And the example which Prabhupada would often give, and I'm sure our Bhagavatam speakers here in the room have also given, that of the way different female animals carry their children. The The monkeys, we just saw many monkeys in India, and it's true, all these stories come to life when you go to India. The monkey, when he's born, he grabs onto his mother underneath her and with his arms around her, and she jumps from tree to tree, so on his strength. But sometimes you see the little monkeys, they kind of fall away and they scamper back and crawl into mommy. But the example which Prabhupada gave was that of the cat. The little kitten doesn't hold on to the mother by his own strength, but she grabs the kitten with her mouth and curls. Have you seen that? Yes? I saw another example when I was in Australia, the kangaroo. The kangaroo is an amazing creation. She's born with a pocket. Can you imagine if you were born with a pocket? It'd make life so much easier. Right? You have your pants and your coat, and you're always looking. You imagine if you just were born with a little pocket with a zipper here? It'd make life so easy. Zip, and you put in your skin bag there, and a zip like that. But Krishna is the most amazing creator. He's also created a living entity called a kangaroo, and they have a pocket. And the little kangaroo, he jumps in, he's all cozy there, just enough to stick his little head out. So you can see, like when you see sometimes the dogs going in the cars with their family members, right? And the dog's head's outside, sniffing like that, sniffing everything. So Mother Nature has made the kangaroo, so you can put the baby kangaroo in there, you can just look outside and look around. And the mother bounces, boing, boing, boing. So he's very safe. So if we try to make advancement on our own strength, it's risky. But if we take shelter of Krishna, then he will be our strength. He will protect us. Just like Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur took shelter of the Lord in the form of what? His holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So when Maya Devi herself came to entice Haridas Thakur, Haridas Thakur just said, well, look, okay, but I have to finish my rounds. But so it's a sign of the disease condition that I can't finish my 16 rounds. This is the worst disease. Disease means suffering. If we catch some disease, then we have to suffer. So in the same way, he described not being able to complete my 16 rounds a day is like a disease, because the result will be suffering. We'll become again attached to the material life, material world, and the result is happiness is temporary and hard work, struggle. No real taste. But Haridas Thakur said, I have to finish my rounds. So Maya Devi looked at his bead bag and his counters, and she saw this long counter. He had, you know, 3 lakhs of names every day, 100,000 names. So she said, well, when are you going to finish your rounds? He said, yeah, a little while. Actually, you know how long it took? Haridas Thakur was chanting 24 hours a day. So then the question came, you know, when did he eat? When did he sleep? This is the thing. He hardly ate or hardly slept. He just barely kept the body and soul together. But his life, his prana, his whole devotion was Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. He would chant 100,000 names silently, 100,000 names softly, and 100,000 names at the top of his voice. He would sit in the bank of the Ganges. They would chant so loud that the holy names would reverberate on the banks, other side of the Ganges there. People would become Krishna conscious just hearing Haridas Thakur chant his rounds. Prabhupada said this chanting is always effective, but it's especially effective when we hear it from the lips of a pure devotee. That's why, although we have many nice tapes in ISKCON, with all due respect to all the Prabhus, main tapes that we should be hearing, you know, Prabhupada's beautiful bhajan tapes. Those are bhajans in the spiritual world. Someone made up one tape, the best of Sridhar Prabhupada, like 9 songs. I was thinking, how you can say the best of Sridhar Prabhupada? Everything he does is perfect, so nothing's better than it. It's all absolute perfect. So I said, you can't name the tape. You know, like they do sometimes, the best of whatever the groups are. So they're the best of Sridhar Prabhupada. No, it's all, everything's perfect and complete. So we should hear that sound vibration from Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Like that, we engage our senses. And only by the mercy of Govinda Dev can we actually make progress in devotional service. The first step is to become again a attracted to Krishna, the next step is to engage, and then comes perfection in Krishna consciousness. Radha Gopinath. That's a very deep subject matter. But we progress to the next stage of devotional service. This beautiful deity of Gopinath, he was the deity of Madhu Pandit. And that deity you can see in Jaipur, because many of the Vrindavan deities were moved from Vrindavan down to Jaipur when the Muslims attacked. So even today you can go and see that beautiful deity of Madhu Pandit. Madhu Pandit was a disciple of Sri Gadadhar Pandit, one of the members of the Panchatattva. Gadadhar Pandit received the name Pandit because he was a great scholar in Srimad Bhagavatam. He knew the Vedic literature is backwards and forwards, but his favorite book was Srimad Bhagavatam. So he got the nickname Panditji, Gadadhar Pandit. And he would just be in such ecstasy that tears would flow from his eyes like torrents of rain and wipe the pages clean, because they would write with some soft pencil or ink or whatever in those days, some type of coloring. Sometimes they would scratch it into rock or write in palm leaves, but they also had some means of putting the marks on the paper. So when he would read Bhagavatam, then the tears would flow from his eyes like torrents of rain and it wiped the pages clean. And then when his Guru Maharaj, Gadadhar Pandit, would come, he would see the ecstatic symptoms of his disciples, and he would also fall into ecstasy, and they would both be rolling on the ground. So Mahaprabhu loved Gadadhar Pandit so much that he actually entrusted the Toto Gopinath deity to him. Toto Gopinath was a deity found by Mahaprabhu himself in the sands of Jagannath Puri, a little area which Mahaprabhu actually saw as not different than Govardhan Hill. Because he would see Vrindavan everywhere. So in Puri, he would see the sand dunes as non-different than Govardhan Hill. So one day he discovered the Toto Gopinath deity, a very beautiful deity. Original deity, actually. It's described that when Brahma saw Krishna, that was the form of Krishna that he saw. So Toto Gopinath is the first deity in the universe. And said that deity, which you can also see in Puri, that deity can give prema bhakti to one who's a sadhika, one who's practicing sadhan bhakti, or very beginning stages of devotional service. That deity, by the blessings of that deity, you can get prema instantly. He's so kind. And he showed his kindness, because he's a very tall deity, tall as this room. Gadadhar Pandit was getting older, and he was, you know, worshipping Gopinath. Oh, you put it in dress. Gopinath, so hard to reach, you're so tall. So Gopinath sat down. So that deity, now you go to Puri and you see the deity is on the altar, is sitting in a lotus position with his 2 feet in a lotus, like a yogi in a lotus position. And that deity is such a special deity. Mahaprabhu, when he finished his earthly pastimes, he merged into that deity. His little crack in the knee, the pujaris will show you, they're very nice pujaris, they'll show you just where Mahaprabhu merged. They're very special. We had some amazing kirtans there when we were in India this time. Many days we went to Toto Gopinath. It wasn't far from where we were staying. We'd have Bhagavatam class there, because that was the deity of Gadadhar Pandit. He bent down for Gadadhar Pandit. So we'd have Bhagavatam. Can you imagine trying to speak Bhagavatam, you know, in the temple of Gadadhar Pandit? So that deity is... So also Madhu Pandit, when he went to Vrindavan, then... because his guru, Gadadhar Pandit, was attracted so much to Krishna. So when Madhu Pandit went to Vrindavan, then he was looking for Krishna everywhere. And once he was down in the rivers, the river, Jamuna River, hey Krishna, hey Radhe. And he was chanting, feeling so much there, and Krishna appeared. So he went forward and he embraced that form of Krishna. And Krishna started to disappear. And he said, no, Govinda, after so many lifetimes, I've achieved your lotus feet. Please don't disappear. So the deity the Lord manifested as a deity. That form that he was embracing manifested as a deity, self-manifested deity. And that's the deity of Gopinath that was worshipped by Madhu Pandit. So Gopinath means master of the gopis. That is the highest perfection of devotional service. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has informed us that as Vrindavan is the land of Krishna, it is non-different than Krishna, it is Krishna's abode. Then he said also, Srimad Bhagavatam is the highest. And he said that of all the lovers of Krishna, the gopis are the highest lovers of Krishna, the best lovers of Krishna, because they've given up everything for Krishna. So we try to follow in the footsteps of the gopis, the surrendered souls, and we come to that exalted stage of pure devotional service. Beyond anatta nirviti, all things have been removed from the heart. We become fixed in Krishna consciousness. We become steady. We develop bhava and then prema. Then we can engage in the service of the Lord in Vrindavan in that most exalted of all moods, Sarvada Gopinath. So in this way, we're on our pilgrim's path to Sri Vrindavan Dham. And the Lord is helping us at every stage. Prabhupada said, if you take one step towards Krishna, he takes 1,000 steps towards you. So the Lord is so kind that we desire to see his beautiful form. Even though we're not qualified with our present vision, still he appears in a so-called material form as Madan Mohan and captivates, attracts us, enchants us once again. Then he engages us in his service as Sri Govindadev. Then he welcomes us into his divine leelas, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. In this way we can go back home, back to God. At all stages, that service is accompanied and supported by the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. There's so many ways which we engage in the worship of the deity. Every morning we're spending 2 hours worshipping the deities, offering etat padyam, water to their lotus feet, idam margyam, grains and yogurt for washing the hands, idam ajmaninam, some nicely scented water to the mouth, eshamadu parka, some sweet yogurt with honey, idam punar ajmaninam, again some fresh water to the mouth, then idam sugandhatalyam, we're offering some aguru oil, nice beautiful oil for the Lord's pleasure, then idam ashtaninam, we're offering him Ganga jaw water with flowers and buds of tulsi there. Then idam vasram, nice cloth we're offering to the Lord, warm cloth, fresh, clean, nice iron, still warm, drying his body. Then idam mupavitram, his Brahman thread we're giving him. Then his ornaments. Then Eshaganda, a sandalwood paste for his lotus feet, especially in the Sringade, to cool him down a little bit. Then Idam Ashanam, he's back on his asana, then his flower garland. This way we're trying to take care of the Lord so many different ways. But Prabhupada said the most important element in deity worship is the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Especially Gornitai. Gornitai, Prabhupada said that the most important, he said if you can't do anything else, Gornitai will accept your worship if you just chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So this way, this chanting is our best friend. It's our dearest friend. At all stages of devotional service, it's taking us through this process of Krishna consciousness. If we do everything else imperfectly, at least if we can perfect the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. And surely in due course of time, we'll have the darshan of Madan Mohan, the darshan of Sri Govindadev, and darshan of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. Sri Vrindavan Dham ki, Sri Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanandi. So on a recent trip to Vrindavan, we received lots of mercy, causeless mercy, because we don't deserve it. Some causeless mercy. We went there in a preaching mood because Vrindavan is a very exalted place, so hard to enter into the understanding. So we went there in a preaching mood. We took the Polish film crew with Jurek Owsiek, the most famous man in Poland. The idea being that if he became interested and perceived what Krishna consciousness was, then other people in Poland would, you know, be able to appreciate. So he fell in love with Vrindavan. He loved it. He told me at the end, he said, I could have spent 2 months there. And he loved the simple life, the village life. You know, he loved the charm of Vrindavan, and he could perceive to some degree the spiritual nature of that place. Who wouldn't? Anyone who goes there, you become affected. And one day we took him to see Radharaman, the deity of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And Padmanabha Goswami, who's the Goswami in charge of that temple, is very, very friendly and very favorable to ISKCON. So he agreed to see Yurik and do an interview. So we came, and you know, he lives in this old medieval house next to the temple. So Yurik was really impressed with that. And then they talked, and then Padmanabha Goswami gave a very favorable interview. Yes, this Hare Krishna movement is bona fide. It's part of this Vedic tradition, Vaishnava tradition, and they're filming all this. And Hare Krishna. And, you know, so Yurik could see here was a responsible, important Indian personality, really appreciating Krishna consciousness. And I embraced him at the end, and they filmed it. And then I'd arranged that I bought a very expensive charter and gave it to Padmanabha Goswami to give to Yurik. So when he gave it as a gift, you know, Yurik was very touched. And then we went to see the Artik, and Yurik was just enchanted by the Artik of Radharaman. It's a beautiful deity. And so, you know, it takes 17 years, you become trained as a pujari before you can worship that deity. Everything's very pukka. So they were doing the Artik, and Yurik's mouth was open. Watching this whole thing, you know. And then they took the deity was wearing neck beads. They took the neck beads off and gave them to Yurik. Couldn't believe it. So he never took them off. He's wearing three strands of Tulsi beads now. Wow. Krishna tricked him. Krishna is such a trickster. He tricked his devotee into surrendering. He's just so attached to those beads. There's something he experienced in that ceremony which I'll never forget. And then it was so, even Padmanabha Goswami was so enlivened just seeing someone come to Krishna consciousness. I went back the next day and I said, Goswami, I said, so much mercy here. I said, can you just give me one drop of mercy? He said, what? I said, you know that on the altar there's that piece of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's cloth. You know, because his great, great, great grandfather was a friend of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the early 1900s. They used to travel, the three of them together. I saw the diary. He had a diary. His great-great-great-grandfather kept a diary. Today, Bimal Prasad gave one lecture. It was a wonderful lecture, he said. But the Brahmanas, the smarter Brahmins, were very upset. So they started yelling at him. So I had to stand up. Apparently he was a big man. I had to stand up and tell him to sit down and shut up so Bimal could continue his lecture. Because he wasn't sannyasi by then. He was still a young boy. Today I took a walk in the park with Kedarnath Dutt. Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Bimal Prasad was late for lunch, so he was chastised by Kedarnath Dutt. Real intimate stuff. Then he said, today we went to the Gambira temple in Puri. Gambira temple. And Bimal asked me to give the lecture. So how I can speak in front of such a great soul? He's much younger than me, but he's such a great soul. But I was asked, so I spoke. And the Brahmins were so appreciative of the lecture, they said they would give me anything. So I told them, this is all in the diary, I told them, you can give me tons of gold and tons of silver, but it's all temporary. You give me something eternal so my life will be benefited. The Bhajari said, what is that? He said, you give me a piece of Mahaprabhu's cloth. Because in that temple, in a small box, Mahaprabhu didn't wear a dhoti like this. He had like loincloth, like Goswami's, like Babaji's. So there's his original loincloth. There's his original shoes and his kamandalu, his pot, water pot. Those things are 500 years old. They're locked under. Now you can't even get near it. You can't even look at it. But that 110 years ago or whatever it was, these things were, you know, it's a different times. They're probably being displayed. So he said, you give me a piece of that cloth. So 5 days later, the priest came with a tiny piece of cloth, this big. He took it off the original cloth, Mahaprabhu's loincloth. So that they've been worshipping for 100 years on their altar with a beautiful shalagram. So I had the audacity to ask for a piece of that cloth. I just said, I need a lot of mercy. I have a lot of things to do this year. I need a lot of mercy. So I said, you know, would you please give me a piece of that cloth? So he was stunned. His mouth was open. couldn't believe it. My great-great-grandfather, I take the dust of his feet on my head. So he thought for a long time, and he said, all right, you come back tomorrow. Tomorrow's Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur's appearance day. He said, I'll give you a piece of that cloth mat. I didn't sleep all night with my dinner. So I went back, and at noon, I went upstairs. He was just finishing his puja. He has the beautiful shagram, and that piece of cloth had been in that casing for 100 years. So I couldn't believe it. He took it off the altar and he tried to wedge it open. Everything was stuck in it, you know. I was thinking, oh no. Finally, he took about a half an hour. He opened it up and he took that. His hand was trembling. He took the cloth out. He took some scissors and he cut it. And then he gave me a piece and it's in here. It's so fragile that if you went like that, it disappears. 500 years old. So it's very, very old. So I took it. It's a small piece. But I took it and I wrapped it in plastic, a plastic thing, and different things and papers, and then I put it and sealed it in here. I'd show it to you, but it's sealed. So that cloth, Mahaprabhu, he actually sent a piece of cloth to Maharaj Pachaparudra, because Maharaj Pachaparudra couldn't have his darshan. So Mahaprabhu, in order to, you know, give him something worshipable, non-different than himself, he sent him a cloth. And Maharaj Pachaparudra worshipped that cloth. Also, Mahaprabhu sent a piece of cloth and an asana to Gopal Bhatta Goswami in Vrindavan. And that's also there on their altar. They have the original cloth sent to Gopal Bhatta Goswami and the asana. And they have the original 12 or 11 now, shilas. The 12th one's Radharaman. But they have all those shilas there at Radharaman Temple. It's just full of history, rich Vaishnava history, that temple. It's such a wonderful place. So anyway, I got this divine mercy. I keep it close to my heart. So all these things happened, and Yurik was just, you know, blown out. Couldn't believe it. And we went out to Radhakund and Shamukund. He was filming everything. And then we, towards the end, I said, you have to go take a bath now in Radhakund and Shamukund. So very dutifully, he went down. If we don't dive in, but I mean, you can do if you don't, if you're not frivolous. But he took the pot of water and poured it on his head like this. He got all wet. And then one of my disciples, she said to me, "You know, that's the third time he's done that. The first time he did it by himself, because he'd heard about how sacred a place he is. The second time he did it because one of my disciples asked him to do it. And the third time he did it because I asked him to do it. He bathed three times in Shamukund and three times in Radhakund." And in the interview, like he'd always go in front of the camera before he started filming. He said, "This is the most sacred place in the universe, these two lakes, you know." He didn't know, he just heard me saying that, so he repeated it on camera. But, you know, there was a sense of appreciation and belief, somehow or other. He had that sense that that was true. And then, what else did we went so many places. Then we went to Varshana, and, you know, he loved Varshana. They spent hours filming the castle, the palace there, and the one next to it, and walking, and every day just eating Mahaprasadam. And then we went to Jaipur. He said he could spend 2 months in Vrindavan. And we went to Jaipur, and in Jaipur, we took him to see Radha Govindaji, and it was Ekadasi, and there were lakhs of people coming through there. He couldn't believe it. He said, this is the Christian church is not like this. And he just said, this happened every day. I said, every day, seven times a day. Wow, I can't believe it's filming. And then the priest called him up onto the altar, not on the altar, but have you been to that temple, Radha Govinda temple? There's a general darshan hall, then there's like a gate. So the priest opened the gate and allowed him to walk in. He was just from here to the wall away from the deity, Radha Govinda. And he was in his shorts and his, you know, his Mickey Mouse t-shirt and everything, you know. But he has neck beads on. And, you know, but the priest called him. I couldn't believe it. He doesn't even call devotees up. He received special mercy from Radha Govinda. He sat there. He was trembling. I came in and sat next to him. He was just, he couldn't believe what was happening. I said, Yurik, I said, I never heard this ever happen in 500 years. He was affected, you know. Receive special mercy. Every deity he came from, I was praying that deity, please enter into his heart and enlighten him with Krishna consciousness, because he's such a powerful man, such a famous man. Through him alone, if he says Hare Krishna is something wonderful. The whole Poland will believe it. It can take us 100 years and maybe 20 people will believe it. He says it once, people won't believe it. So I was praying, please, Radha Govinda, please enter into his heart, destroy the ignorance, you know, enlighten him with transcendental knowledge, you know, let him become, you know, I'm always praying, Radha Raman, Radha Govinda. So then we went to Bombay, and in Bombay, he was filming the temple, Bombay Temple, and he said, it's such an honor to be here. I said, how's that? He said, I read the book. I read how your spiritual master came here and struggled for so many years, and that Mr. whatever his name was wouldn't give the property. He knew the whole story. He said, such an honor. He just couldn't believe he was there. And it was Shivaratri. You know, lakhs of people coming in. He said, it's always like this. I said, every day. Krishna orchestrated the whole thing. But it was like a fairy tale, from the beginning to the end. And then we next day in Bombay, we went down to film the Gateway of India. The British built some big thing, you know, near the port. So he wanted to film that. So we were walking down there. All of a sudden, about 15 or 20 Polish tourists walked by. And everyone in Poland knows him. Jurek! Oh, Jurek! They all came running over. I want his autograph, you know. He said to me, thanks for taking me to the real India. Because, you know, he could see the tourist scene was so artificial. It was just, you know, they're all drinking, they were drunk, and vodka. And then, lo and behold, the Polish ambassador to India walked by. He was walking down there with his wife. It was a Sunday. And he looked over, he said, Jurek! And he came over, you know, he wanted Jurek's autograph and everything. He said, who's taking care of you? I didn't know you were coming. Why didn't they tell me you're coming? Who's taking care of you? He said, the Hare Krishnas. He said, well, where do you live? He said, I live in Vrindavan. I said, what are you eating? He said, prasadam. So afterwards, the ambassador came up to me and he shook my hand. He said, thank you so much for taking care of our Yurik. He said, I'm going to go visit your temple in Bombay. So that's the ambassador, Polish ambassador. So you can see how important a person is. So then the last night in Bombay, we had a Pando program. There were between 7,000 and 8,000 people at the Pando program. It was near the temple, about 2 kilometers from the temple. Giriraj Maharaj, you know, set the whole thing up. So Maharaj asked me to give a lecture. So, you know, Maharaj spoke a little and I spoke. And then I just concluded my lecture by discussing how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is growing all over the world. Mahaprabhu predicted that his name would be heard in every town and village. And I said, you people should know that this is actually happening. That all over the world, people are calling out the name of Gauranga and chanting the holy names. And in Poland, I started speaking about Poland, our festival tour. I said, people are coming forward and helping Mahaprabhu's movement. So many ways. I said, there's one great humanitarian here. Every year he gives millions of dollars to crippled children, and he's also assisting the Krishna conscious movement, speaking favorably, giving us opportunities, so many ways. I'd like to introduce you to him. I built the whole thing up to a crescendo, you know. I said, ladies and gentlemen, Jurek Ovsya. Half the crowd stood up and started applauding. Everyone was looking, where is he? Standing ovation, 7,000 people. He was at the back of the audience, you know. They made a path for him. He was, well, he had tears were in his eyes. He was walking through this, you know, 7,000 people applauding, you know. And it took a long time to walk through 7,000 people. Came to the stage, his eyes were full of tears, and he was so touched, you know. So he came on the stage, and I said, you speak. You know, it was like this, you could hear a pin drop, you know. He was in his shorts and his Mickey Mouse t-shirt. I said, you sit down, you know. So I was sitting, you know, and Guruji was sat in the middle of it, and he gave a beautiful talk. You know, I appreciate so much your culture. He said, I'm a Catholic by nature, but I feel like one of you, like part of your family. So I've never been in a situation like this, and it's been the most wonderful trip in my life. It's so organized, everything's so smooth, and you people are so wonderful in your culture. And he said, you know, I know that in some countries in the West you have opposition to your tradition, so I'm going to go back and fight for you. Because the 7,000 people were all, they're like friends of Krishna, actually, relate congregation, you know, like that. Bombay has a huge congregation. How do you go? Jurek was stunned, you know. And then he said, you know, he started like shaking, you know, and he went, and Michael, when he went, I just have one last thing I want to tell you. Hare Krishna! He said it four times. Hare Krishna. He was screaming, you know, really good sounds. Afterwards, he said to me, did I scream too loud? I said, yeah, it was okay, you know, I don't know. And the people would repeat, and the whole thing was filmed by the Polish film crew. So, you know, we'll just see. Well, even he's gone back now, and his program was on Saturday, and his idea is to slowly introduce Krishna consciousness through the, you know, the Indian footage, not just to show only Hare Krishna, because people will reject, because they have a bad opinion, but just to introduce. And last Saturday he had a program, and it showed Indian, it showed devotees chanting, taking prasadam, it real natural. So every week, every Saturday, he has an hour national television program for 1 hour in Polish television. Everyone watches him, everyone loves him. The whole country watches, 30 million. He's going to introduce Krishna consciousness. And after about 2 or 3 months, he's just going to do 1 hour special on Hare Krishna and just like change the whole thing forever. So this is, it was unprecedented opportunity. And Krishna was just there at every step of the way, every step of the way. He just orchestrated the whole thing. Even to the last minute when we flew back and to Delhi and I got him on the plane, and it was magic. Everything was just picture perfect, like a Walt Disney movie or something, or like Vrindavan, like the spiritual world. And he's back, and then, you know, the real test is that when after being in the Devotees Association, remember when you first came to Krishna consciousness, and then you got that magic association with the devotees, and you went back to your friends, you know, and your family, and something was missing. It was like you missed that taste that you had. You know, the devotees were so special. I knew that would be the test if he really, really entered deeply into Krishna consciousness. So about 4 days after he left, I had Chintamani call him up, and he picked, oh, Chintamani, how's Maharaj? You know, how's Amrita Nanda? How's Bhakti? You know, he's just like, I'm missing all of you so much. Hare Krishna! It was like a little kid, you know? And he said, you know, oh, I'm really missing everybody. And when you come back, I want to pick you up at the airport. He offered to pick the devotees up at the airport. He said, don't worry about the television show. It's going really good. And I'm wearing my, I have my beads. And, you know? Oh, and then when we were in, when we were at the festival program, after the lecture, people were milling around. And one of the cameramen went over and bought some, he said he was going to buy some neck beads for his girlfriend, but actually he went and bought some japa beads with the bead bag, and he hid them in his pocket, the cameraman. So Yurik saw the bead bag hanging out of his pocket. He said, what's that? And he got all red. He said, oh, I bought a bead bag, you know. So Yurik said, go buy me one. So they bought him a bead bag and beads, you know. And they were all there, like, learning to chant. They had their fingers, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, Krishna Ram. And then the last day we were somewhere buying little things in the store, and you know he got a little elephant, he got a camel, you know, he got a something. And he said to me, he said, Charlie, he said, I want Krishna. I said, you do? He said, yeah, I want Krishna. He meant like a statue of Krishna, you know. That's what I thought he wanted. So they brought him a wooden statue. No, that's not what I want. Then they brought him a soapstone statue. No, I don't want that. He said, like in the temples, the ones that you pray to, you worship, the black one and the white girl. I said, all right, I'll get it for you. I'm getting a carved now in Jaipur, beautiful black Krishna and white Radha. He doesn't know, but that's how it all begins, right? In Krishna consciousness, there's something in your heart, you're attracted, and everything else just kind of falls in place in due course of time. So in my wildest dreams, I never imagined such a trip could happen. And I can hardly imagine in the future, but if we have faith, we can consider that Krishna has some plan for him, and he'll become closer and closer to Krishna consciousness. And who knows what miracles we'll see in our lifetime. We just preach, you know, just try to preach and help them and depend on Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, and then so many wonderful things will happen. And in 2 weeks' time, he's going with me to South Africa for that. Nelson Mandela's coming to one of our programs. We're feeding 45,000 kids in a soccer stadium in downtown Durban. All right, yeah. And they were bussing all the kids in. It's going to be a fun festival for the children of the Rainbow Nation. So he's going to fly down with a crew. So another 10 days of intimate association. And then he's got his Woodstock Festival, which maybe some of you read about in the book, the new book. So we're invited again, but on a bigger scale. So it's just green light. What way? Hare Krishna. Shishi Nitaini Mai Sundar Ki, Shishi Lakshminar Singhadev Ki, Kiri Govardhan Ki, Anantakoti Shalagram Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Gaur Premanandi. So thank you. Maybe I brought some prasadam.
Hungry.
Where's India?
She's...
Where's the balloons? She's going to bring her balloons and everything. She's still awake.
She's got something for you.
Okay.
Hiding in the
hallway. Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
India.
Wow. Who took that picture? Somebody took it, right? That is beautiful. That's you and me. And a little doggy there. Thank you. Well, you've been waiting for this party all month, right? Did you bring the balloons?
You got a pack?
Yeah.
Oh, you got a
pack.
I got the things I remember.
Let me see. Bring all of them. There's something for everyone in Krishna consciousness. A room for everybody in Prabhupada's house.
Remember that party you organized, Maharaj, for that boy you met at the restaurant?
Oh yeah, up in Paris?
Yes.
Was his birthday or something?
Yes, yes.
Brought him back to New Mayapur?
Yeah.
He became a devotee, actually.
Yeah.
What else is there, India? She's been waiting all month. We have to take a few moments because she's been waiting all month for this party. You have to wear the hat, India. You have to wear the hat. Wow. Come. It's not silly. It looks good. Don't wear the mask, but you can wear the hat. Come. Oh, gorgeous. Radharani. Uh-huh. Lalita, Vishaka, somebody. That's great. This is her party dress. Something like that, right? Well, she's looking great. Radharani always looks beautiful. It's nice. And thank you. Oh, look, everyone gets a big plate tonight. Wonderful. And what's in the bag there? Oh, nothing in that side. Sarya vidyajal.
Sarya vidyajal.
Jitendriya tehe kal.
Jitendriya tehe kal.
Jive phele visaya sagare.
Jive phele visaya sagare.
Karma je jivyati.
Karma je jivyati.
Lova maya sudirmati.
Lova maya sudirmati.
Piketa ta kutini samsare.
Piketa ta kutini samsare.
Krishna bora dora moi.
Krishna bora dora moi.
Kori bora jiva joy.
Kori bora jiva joy.
Swapasad Anadelobai.
Swapasad Anadelobai.
Sayanamrita Pal.
Sayanamrita Pal.
Radha Krishna Gunagal.
Radha Krishna Gunagal.
Premidako Chaitanya Nitai.
Premidako Chaitanya Nitai.
Shri Shri Gaurinitai Mahaprasad Ki.
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada Ki.
Jai.
Gaur Premanandi. Hari 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 Go. So many things in there. Oh, pictures of Radha and Krishna. Nice. You blow it. Great, now it's a real party.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we'll take prasadam now. Here. You can have one of these, okay? Over the hat. Mm-hmm. Should we take prasadam now? Okay. What about Radharani here? She can take prasadam with us here, right? Here, they're here. They're eating here.
What is that thing that is on your head?
This thing? No. Hey, this is all getting taped. We should turn this off.